Welcome to Covenant Tribe Media Podcast, where we explore all things writers and filmmakers with an emphasis on faith-based and independent creators. The host is Aisha Goldson, a multi-published author, screenwriter, and filmmaker. Now, let's talk media.
Welcome to Covenant Tribe Media Podcast. Today, we have with us a very special guest, screenwriter, director, and filmmaker, DeWitt Jones. Hi, DeWitt.
Hi, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm great. So honored to have you with us.
Honored to be here.
All right, DeWitt. Well, let's just jump right in, and I'd like you to kind of introduce yourself. Just tell us a little bit more about where you're from and where you live now.
Well, I am born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I currently live in Georgia, and making movies professionally, that is, since 2006, 2007-ish. I'm thinking of the date I actually yelled action versus the release
date. Right. Awesome. Wonderful. So excited to dig into this. All right, DeWitt. So first of all, okay, you're from Pittsburgh. What brought you to Atlanta? Was it the industry that brought you to Atlanta?
Well, back in the mid-90s, when I got out of film school, Atlanta was turning into the new Motown, if you will.
Right.
And they were doing more elaborate music videos. I sought to pursue the video market, but Hollywood was able to do bigger and better videos. So the music video industry shifted over to Hollywood. I wasn't going to pack up my bags and chase them over to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to stay here. And then the film industry had a rebirth, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the right place at the right time.
That's awesome. All right. So in reading about you, you say that you developed this passion for film pretty early on. Could you explain that to us? How did that happen for you?
I grew up poor, and I've always been blessed with a vivid imagination. So to fight boredom, my mom and dad couldn't afford to take us to Disney World and things like that. So we have to entertain ourselves.
Right.
So that incorporated playing with toys and growing an affection for movies. So my mom loved movies herself.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I mean, matinee was what, $2?
Okay.
So late Saturday afternoon, my mom would take me to the movies. So it was this one particular late May, early June.
Mm-hmm.
My mom took me to go see Star Wars. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, the opening shot alone, took the air out of my lungs.
Wow.
Big aerial Death Star, just skating across the screen, and the magnificence of that film. I was like, Mom, I want to do this the rest of my life. Amazing. I mean, logically speaking, I know George Lucas didn't go into outer space and make this movie.
Right.
The escapism felt so real. I wanted to be part of that. And I guess growing up poor, your imagination is a form of escapism. So, you know, we couldn't afford to go to France and Egypt. So I would explore these foreign lands through books as well as movies. So that's when my attraction grew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started developing my storytelling style through watching old episodes of Twilight Zone. And my mom introduced me to Alfred Hitchcock films and Brian De Palma films. And that's where I started developing my storytelling style.
Wonderful. So how old were you? Do you remember when you went to see this Star Wars? How old were you?
I was 5 or 6.
Okay. So that is very young.
Yeah.
Awesome. I would consider you blessed to know that early on, what you want to do for the rest of your life. I think that's awesome.
Very few people get that privilege to know what they want that early.
Right. That's fascinating to me. So you were so committed to this idea of doing film that you attended film school. Tell me about that experience.
I went to the Army. Mm-hmm. I went to the Army for 3 years, served in Desert Storm.
Oh, wow.
Serving in Desert Storm as an adult storytelling style start developing. So when I went to film school, that's when I was exposed to more so storytelling mechanics, the concept of screenwriting, and to differentiate between screenwriting, novelization, mm-hmm. and playwriting, just learning how the mechanics differ from each other.
Right.
And being exposed to films I never would have had access to outside of the school system. I early worked as Victoria De Sica, mm-hmm. Francis Truffaut,
right.
Godard, early Orson Welles works and things like that. Mm-hmm. Early silent cinema. So you don't have access to that on normal television. So that's the bulk of my education.
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. Bulk of my education, the introduction to cinema, I gather film school, or more so the accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, my real education started Atlanta, being on set.
Right.
That's when I got my bumps and bruises.
Right.
But film school was a good networking resource. And again, mm-hmm. getting access to these archived films that I normally wouldn't have access to. That's
correct.
What school gave me. But a good 80% of the education came through on-set filmmaking, because when I finally got to film sets, they start drifting away from celluloid to video, so I had to learn it all over again, basically.
Wow. Mm, right.
Especially the lighting. Lighting is a heck of a lot different with video than it is film.
Okay.
Video light sensitivity is a heck of a lot better than film. So
right.
I learned how to make movies again.
Right. All over again.
Wow.
Right. Because technology is just advancing so quickly, I think.
Correct.
Right. All right. So tell us about your first film.
My first film mm-hmm. that I directed, or my actual first film?
Either or. Your first film experience.
My first film experience, I got in contact with a filmmaker named Bobby Peoples, and he was starting his first film in Atlanta.
Right.
And he asked me to be the DP, or better known as the cinematographer, so I photographed
yes.
his film.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I just kicked it off like long lost brothers.
Wow.
And we built a strong bond. And after that film, I went ahead and photographed two other films of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wants to do a horror film.
Okay.
A vampire film. And me being a film geek, a movie nerd.
Right.
He asked me to write it. And I said, only on one condition. I got to change some of the vampire lore. I have to change some of the rules of the Bram Stoker type of
mm-hmm.
ideology. And he said, bet.
Okay.
So I wrote it, and he asked me to direct it. The film was called Night of the Jackals.
Mm-hmm.
First time on directing the movie, pretty big budget.
Nice.
A lot of special effects. Looking back at the elder, me being the elder to the young DeWitt then.
Right.
I believe I should have did something a little more simplistic instead of taking hold of a whole bunch of special effects and stunts. But you know,
you're
so
excited.
The movie, man, mm-hmm. I'm going Star Wars. I'm going.
Right. And that's like a dream come true. So I understand.
Right. So that was a beautiful experience. I got a chance to interact with actors and getting everybody on board.
Right.
To follow my ideas, because filmmaking is a team sport. It's not kind of individual sport like mm-hmm. writing or even playing an instrument. It is literally a football game. I am the quarterback, and I got to get all of these people to get on board with me to get to the touchdown.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good. So that was my introduction to time management, mm-hmm. people management, Right. Like that's divas. That
I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
I was so passionate about storytelling, and the script was so solid. A lot of the actors just was excited to be part of it. So they didn't give me a hard time.
Right.
We pulled it off. Unfortunately, the movie didn't make a whole bunch of money.
Okay, that happened.
And my next film, I wanted to go to my root, Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do an anthology series because I was a big fan of Rod Serling and Twilight Zones and anthology.
Right.
So I decided to make a Christian thriller sci-fi anthology.
Wow.
Uncanny.
That's right.
Three different stories. Mm-hmm. And that was my first attempt to do all of that by myself and producing. And,
wow.
That didn't go too well.
Didn't go too well.
Yeah, I think the concept was too foreign for many people. Christianity, sci-fi, thriller, is a weird type of gumbo mix.
Right.
One shouldn't interact with the other. But me being hard-headed, I tried again, and my most successful film to date was a psychological thriller called Imagine.
Okay.
And that was my most success, and I was able to produce, write, and direct that. And that was my attempt at making my very own Hitchcockian type of film.
Okay. How would you define your writing style?
It's a mixture. These combinations is going to sound weird, but there is a method to my madness. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture of Richard Pryor, Rod Serling, Alfred Hitchcock, The Tour of the Seeker, Shane Black, Looney Tunes.
Okay.
So basically, with the Richard Pryor element, his storytelling style, he's a brilliant comedian, but on stage, there is so much empathy for these cruel characters. Because the reason the empathy is so rich is because when he presents these characters, we all know these people.
Right.
We all have interacted with these people, and they're rich, and the rich dialogue between each other.
Yes.
I just borrowed that and held on to it heavily.
Okay.
As far as being witty, having a sense of humor, I borrowed the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Right.
And with this Rod Serling is where you can get a point across and not offend people if you mask it as something else.
So
what I learned from Rod Serling and later on in my adult years, learned from Christ's parables, is that these characters are different from everyone else or the image of these characters, but the goals and the themes are there.
Right.
And he was able to meet people on their level versus staying on top of the throne, preaching down to them.
Yes, okay.
He created these stories from farmers and fishermen, men of renown, and he was able to get his point across. And same with Rod Serling. He did a lot of films dealing with racism and dealing with the threat of nuclear war, but either basket and aliens or other weird worlds, but the thing is still the thing regardless of where it is.
Right.
In my storytelling, I tend to stay away from historic biopics and things like that.
It's
really real.
Right.
So I create these weird fictional towns, like in my second film, Uncanny. Uh-huh. It's a fictional town in Pennsylvania where a lot of strange stuff happens. So I have this fictional town. I can pretty much get away with anything. I mean, with aliens, I can put ghosts, et cetera. But I can incorporate Christian things where I make stories for people who don't know God, that I would like to know God, versus make what typically Christian films do today. They make films for Christians.
Absolutely.
I make films for non-Christians, hoping they would build, if anything, the curiosity.
Right.
About a divine creator, and eventually their curiosity will eventually laid them into his arms.
Wow, I love that. I love that. So basically, what you were saying is Rod Sterling's work helped influence you to kind of make mm-hmm. your ideas a little more palatable to the right. masses. Okay. All right. Okay. I like that. That's awesome that you found success with that. So tell us, what are you working on currently?
Another anthology film, a bigger budget.
Good.
Dealing with God's principles, but towards people that don't know Christianity. Dealing
right.
with futurism
mm-hmm.
and how, like, for example, we are told clear as day pretty much throughout the book that all of this has an end goal.
Right.
And
towards right.
that end goal, you can't go backwards. And you've been given quite a bit of opportunity to be prepared for that end goal. And
right.
unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to cry unfair when that end goal happens, that
yes.
they never had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these storylines in this new film, it hasn't been titled yet. Dealing with people getting access to knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Through their own human pride, they kind of make the inevitable happen anyway, through their pride.
Mm. Very interesting. This sounds exciting. When are you going to be done with this story?
We're still in pre-production. We're still doing script editing. That'll get a bunch of special effects and all
right.
of that stuff. So we are in the infancy stages right now.
Okay, okay. All right.
So hopefully I'll be yelling action sometime in March. I'll be yelling action.
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, that's exciting. Okay. All right. We can't wait to hear more about it. All right. So I'm sure the way I could just go on and on talking about this, all of this, but our time is drawing to a close. So I want to hit some important things before we go.
Mm-hmm.
What would you, because this is such a fascinating journey that you've had here, what would you say if you had known beforehand you would have done differently?
I would not have went to film school.
Mm.
I would have spent that money on a movie and just do a lot more work trying to find these archive films and, if anything, interact with other film students.
Yes.
Still very much.
Okay, okay. I'm so glad you said that. I actually teach dramatic writing and the students, and they often ask that question, you know, should they go to film school? And so your opinion would be no.
Yes, I'm definitely not against higher education, but
mm-hmm.
film school is overpriced,
mm-hmm.
it's overrated, and with today's digital technology and social media, you can network with
right.
other filmmakers and learn that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find yourself with an opportunity with some money, you can buy this equipment and self-teach yourself if you really want it.
If you really want it.
Right.
Which is like anything, right? Because even if you go to school, you still have mm-hmm. to come out and really want it.
Right.
Right? You're right. Yeah.
I think paying to become a film director is overrated. If you have a cell phone and you record something and it's a beginning, middle, end, technically, you are a film director from that point forward.
Just
learn how to write. Read. Watch movies.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. And so you just answered my next question. Or maybe you have something to add to that. Because my next thing was going to be, what advice would you give to someone who is aspiring to be like you, myself included? What advice would you give to us all who are trying to get there and they're just not quite there yet? Anything to add to what you've already said?
Embrace your vision. If you don't believe it, no one else will.
So true.
Be prepared to be alone. It's a lonely sport, especially with writing, because there's no movie being made without the written word. So work on your writing. Read screenplays. Read screenwriting books. Watch movies, and not just current movies. Study about screenwriters. There's William Goldman. There's Robert Towne. There's Shane Black. Andrew Kevin Walker, there's a lot of Spike Lee's earlier work where he penned his own screenplay. Read
right.
those screenplays.
Right.
And it's not an overnight, it's not like writing a song. It's going to take a while to master it.
Right.
But you got to be patient and committed to yourself, because if you're not committed to yourself, don't even try it, because it's a heartbreaking craft. It can break your heart multiple times. So you got to be committed and marry it.
Right, right.
Richer or poorer, for better or for worse, and commit to it. Love it.
Hey, all right. Okay, words to live by, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I hope the people out there listening, I hope they're taking this in. That's good stuff. Tell us, DeWitt, for the people who are listening, who want to find out more about you, or maybe contact you, or find your work, or what have you, how would they do that? What is the best way to find DeWitt Jones?
I go on internet sporadically.
Okay.
However, you can find me on Instagram at stillcitypictures.com.
Okay.
Or DeWitt Film Director.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook as well, Still City Pictures. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's good, right?
that's good.
Absolutely. DeWitt, thank you so much for spending your time with us. There's so much here we could pour over. I think you've given a lot of good instruction for those who are interested, who are really committed to becoming a screenwriter, or filmmaker, director, either or. Thank you so much. And definitely keep in touch with us when your next project becomes available so we can help get the word out about it, okay?
You're so welcome. I want to give a shout out to my kids.
Hi, y'all.
that's the root of my film career.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Awesome. You're so blessed. Well, thank you so much. And we are going to say goodbye till next time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You too.
Thank you for listening. Join your host, Aisha Goldson, next time on the Covenant Tribe Media Podcast.